Well, it is so good to be in the house of the Lord. You ever plug something in and not quite get it plugged in?
Yes.
Like your iPad. And you wake up and it says 40%. Hallelujah. I feel like my iPad this morning. I was only plugged in about halfway and didn't quite get charged last night. Speaking of myself, hallelujah, it was so good. I like helping people. I really do. I'm a yes man at heart. I try every once in a while to be a no man, you know, but never to Sister Glover, Brother Glover. And then was honored and privileged to help Brother and Sister Springer yesterday move from Homer to Eagle River. And I got the joy of driving the big U-Haul over the frost heaves. And everything made it. Nothing broke. Hallelujah. I don't know how, but those big things will go 65 when needed. They will. They'll do it. Hallelujah. And washers and dryers are capable of levitating over the frost heaves. I found that out. It's awesome. Hallelujah, but God is so good. Kept us safe on the roads. Good, authentic Mexican meal when we got there. Hallelujah, God is so good. And he's going to give me rest tonight. Hallelujah, I believe that. Amen, maybe even this afternoon. Glory to God. Today, since I'm already 6 minutes into my time, God's word for today, God's word about the Beatitudes. How many enjoy the Beatitudes? Hallelujah. 1 Peter 1:8 is our focus verse today. This series has got everything backwards. We're going to start with the focus verse, and then we'll read our lesson text. 1 Peter 1:8, whom having not seen, ye love, in whom now, though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Matthew 5, and we'll read through it quick because we're going to go back through and break it down a little bit. Matthew 5, 1 through 12 says this, and seeing the multitudes, he went up into the mountain, and when he was set, his disciples came unto him, and he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they that which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. Today, our focus thought, Christ is the source of Christian character. Christ is the source of Christian character. Adherence to the principles he taught will produce a Christ-like character in us. Today, I wonder how many of us want to be like Christ. How many want to be like Christ? As we walk through this world, we see many who have zero desire to be like Christ. And we see another character being presented in this world. And it is up to us who love God to show this great character of Christ. Hallelujah, in our life. Is it an easy thing to do? Hallelujah, we need God's help today. We need His Spirit. We need His power working in our lives. Hallelujah, but it is possible today to live the Beatitudes. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen, Brother Walker. Amen. It is possible today. Hallelujah. A walking example of Christ-likeness. Amen. Our culture connection today. We see it everywhere, especially now that football season has started up again. You start seeing jerseys, people wearing jerseys with the name of their favorite player on the back. Even players who have little or zero morality concern or care for their girlfriends, fiancés, wives, and elevators, all of those kind of things, still wearing the jerseys, and we support him because he can catch that pigskin. Totally forgetting or negating the fact that there's abusive characteristics and immoral activity and when drug use and all the other stuff that goes along with the fame and stuff. But they'll wear the jersey and support their team, and they'll support their players, and idolizing them, wanting to be like them. And the kids put on the jersey and they run out in the field, and their friend throws the football, and you've all seen the kids throw the football, and it's not going like this, it's doing this number, but they think that's the best throw in the world, and the kid catches it, and he yells out whatever his team would say, and does the touchdown dance like his player would do. They're idolizing that player. Today, I propose that we put on Christ. Put on Christ. Hallelujah. Help us, Lord, today to put on you. Put on your characteristics, to idolize you, to make you the image we want to be like. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Philippians 1:6, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Now, we could put a jersey on with a heaven logo in the front. Hallelujah. Some little angel wings on the side, maybe on the shoulder patch. Put Jesus across the back. But most of us, amen, especially me and Brother Walker, especially us two, need to put across the back of our shoulder, PBPGIFWMY. Please be patient. God isn't finished with me yet. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. It's a process. It's a process. We are growing daily in God. We are maturing. We are perfecting. We are perfecting. We are maturing. Amen. Please be patient with me this morning. I'm at 40%. Amen. Every true Christian longs to measure up to the principles of his profession. And Jesus, early in his ministry, laid down the principles of Christianity in clear and concise terms. The Beatitudes describe the principles or ideal standards for Christians, plus the privileges that result from their observance. Hallelujah. I'm glad that it's not just the strong arm of the law, do this or die, do this or be punished, do this. There are blessings. Hallelujah. There are privileges in our life from living this godly life. Hallelujah. Trying to be like Christ has privileges. So, what is the character of Christ? The character of Christ. Jesus Christ, the source of the Christian's character. To be like Jesus. His life is the greatest of all object lessons. If you want to know how to live, how to act, study the life of Christ. Study the life of Christ. To really follow Jesus Christ, to really apply his principles to our lives, is to honor the desires of the King. Honor the desires of the King. What would be pleasing to you today, Lord? What do you desire of me? Because whatever that is, I want my life to do that. Whatever I can do to bless you, whatever I can do to please you in my life, that's what I want. That's what I want to do. His principles are clean. Thank the Lord for clean principles. You don't see much of that anymore. Pure. That word's hidden in the background behind a bunch of dirt today. Pure and lofty. And lofty, does that mean that we're all just flying around with little wings, little angels? No. But lofty, the principles are lofty, which means there's something to reach for. It's not just not something that you're just going to forage around for in the woods with a stick. I'm going to find some of the principles of God, just do some foraging, see what I can come up with. No, there's something that we need to attain, something that we reach for, we strive for, we work towards as Christians to be like Christ. So the early fame of Jesus spread far and wide. The sick, the demon-possessed, the insane were brought to him from all over Judea and even as far away as... what is it? Is it Tyre or Tyre? Or Tyree? Brother Glover? Exactly. All right. Hallelujah. I'm glad we live in a place called Sterling. I can pronounce that. Amen. They came in the droves, some to hear, many to touch him. If I can just touch the hem of his garment. He was that famous. If I can just touch the hem of his garment. So many great and wonderful works that he did, and stuff like that travels fast. Hallelujah. How fast did it take for the healing at camp, the blinded eyes that were opened, to travel throughout our district and around the world, for that matter? Blinded eyes were opened. And so fame was spread far and wide. When Jesus saw the multitude following him, he ascended with his new appointed 12 disciples to the mountain. And this is where we hear the Sermon on the Mount. 12 verses today. Jesus did it in just a few short verses, and it takes me 45 minutes to get through it today. Hallelujah. He just spoke it. Why? Well, could you imagine just being there that day and sitting at the feet of Jesus and having him describe his character? Hallelujah. Well, today we have his word. Hallelujah. And if you're ever wondering about the character of Christ and what we're to be like, how about you just take a look at Matthew? Hallelujah. And just read through that Sermon on the Mount just a few times. God, help me today. Help me today to be more like you. The ideals that he taught were clean. They were pure. They were far above the usual thoughts and ideas of humankind. Like the first one. Character is important to God, and it should be important to us. I know many who do not care about their character. I don't care what you think of me. I'm going to do what I want to do, and I just don't care. I don't care about the consequences. I don't care about I don't care what the law thinks about this. I just don't care. Anybody know anybody like that? Don't be pointing around the room today. Hallelujah. That's an attitude that's out there in this world. I just don't care. Character is important. What you say and how you act is important. It's important to God. And if something's important to God, it should be important to us. The first characteristic is humility. I'm the most humble person I know. I'm just kidding. Now, in this crowd that had gathered, could you imagine seeing perhaps the scribes and Pharisees also there? They seemed to always be lurking. Wherever Jesus was, there were scribes and Pharisees. What's this teacher teaching about? But there was an attitude, a way that they presented themselves in such a way with the way that they dressed and the way that they acted, the expressions on their face, and their act of, I'm important, I am something, I need to be seen, I need to be heard. You're listening to this common fellow here, but look over here at us. We're more important, we're more religious, we have more rules in our life. Just look how cool we look. They were noticeable by their dress, and I can just imagine them during this time, where Jesus is just sitting down and trying to teach. I see the scribes and Pharisees positioning themselves to be best seen by the crowd. Wow, this is the biggest crowd I've seen around here for a while. Let me stand up on this here pebble over here, this rock, and see if the crowd will look my direction and see how amazingly religious I am. And maybe they'll ignore this teacher that is teaching these simple words. And you almost wonder if the Beatitudes may have been reordered so that Jesus could start with this one, because what he saw around him. Blessed are the poor in spirit. The poor in spirit. Jesus' first statement must have been shattering to all who felt arrogant and self-sufficient. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed meant happy, content, fortunate, well off. Now, I know we know the answer to this, but was Jesus mad? What kind of kingdom was his when the first condition for happiness was poverty? The Jews believed that you were highly favored and blessed of God if you had possession. Abraham was blessed. Blessed. Job. Look at Job. Blessed. Right? It's in their culture. It's in part of what they believe. And I believe today that we can be blessed of God. Hallelujah. And some of that blessing can be financial, it can be material goods, it can be those things. And that is possible. That's not what Jesus was talking about. It's about an attitude. One can be poor and happy too. Because those that may not have everything can find themselves wishing to have everything. And then they're not really living. They're not really happy with the place that they're at in their life. And it's okay to want to better yourself. But we can live for God in any circumstance, any financial situation in our life. Whatever comes up in our life, we can be content in Him. In Him. Because it's all about Him. It's not about our financial situation. It's not about our health or our well-being. It's all about Him, and we can be happy and content and well off and fortunate in Him. In Him. Hallelujah. What a great starting point. Humility. Humility. Luke's gospel simply says, blessed are the poor, but Matthew is more specific, and it says, blessed are the poor in spirit. Poor in spirit. What a lofty spiritual principle. The way to spiritual blessing is through acknowledgement of spiritual need. The doors of God's abundance do not open widely to those who have a great deal of self-esteem. To those who, like the Laodiceans, feel rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing. They have need of nothing. It means they don't have any need for God. They don't have need for you. It's all about self. And right off the bat, Jesus talks about, it's not about you. It's not about you. Rather, the doors of God's treasure house swing open to those who confess their absolute poverty in the sight of God. God, I'm not worthy of this blessing that you have bestowed upon me. I'm not worthy of it. You are everything. You're not trying to be like me. I'm trying to be like you, God. You're everything to me. I'm not worthy of this. Best illustration of this truth is the parable of the Pharisee and the publican. In Luke 18. And that is the praying and the stance in praying and how we approach God. And seven words. God be merciful to me, a sinner. God be merciful to me, a sinner. Seven words in the publican's prayer was over. But Jesus noted that the man who sensed his own spiritual poverty went home enriched. God, who am I to deserve this of you? I'm just a sinner. Be merciful to me. Life is empty without God because only He can satisfy the soul. Jesus said in Matthew 5:3, theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Theirs is the kingdom of heaven. It is heavenly indeed when God satisfies the thirsting soul with His presence. God's kingdom is fully and firmly established in the heart of the honest seeker when he receives the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. With the evidence of speaking in other tongues. Hallelujah. A burdened or concerned heart. Matthew 5:4. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. The Beatitudes flow, right? They flow a lot more than the notes I ever have ever made for a message or a sermon. They just flow. It's the Word of God. He's just speaking it out there, and it's one message. And it looks like that this one is out of place. All about blessing and character, and now we have and joy, and now we have number two, and it's mourning, sadness. And that is our view of the word mourn, sadness. Most individuals in the world would associate mourning with sadness or emotional pain. And the rabbis were actually instructed to be gloomy and sad in their countenance. Can you imagine? Every time Brother Glover got up here to preach the Word of God, turn in your Bibles. It's Eeyore. Turn in your Bibles. If you don't mind standing, if it's not too much trouble. Could you imagine? It'd be tough. I'm glad that we have the joy of the Lord. Amen. But they were instructed to be gloomy and sad in their countenance. But Christians are never instructed to be gloomy or sad. And we're not supposed to, when we fast, we're not supposed to put on the sad look. Suck in your cheeks. Look like you're skinnier than you are. Right? Woe is me, I'm fasting candy today. That's not how it is. The man who sincerely sorrows for his sins or the sins of others has come to the painful realization that sin separates a person from God. That realization afflicts him, burdens him, and overwhelms him. He sees himself or others in terrible distress in a condition that only God can remedy. Such grief for sin moves the hand of God. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. When we see our complete need of Him, when we see our complete need of Him, He is there to be our comforter. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So that is not out of place today. Again, it is pointing everything towards Him. It's my need of Him. and his promise is he'll always be there. He'll be my comforter. Hallelujah. For godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of. 2 Corinthians 7:10. For the one who mourns over sin, the Lord stands ready to strengthen. Psalms 35, for his anger endureth but a moment, in his favor is life. Weeping may endure for the night, but joy cometh in the morning. Hallelujah. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Meekness this morning. Anybody know anybody that's meek? Hallelujah. I know a brother and sister meek in Nova Scotia. It's their last name. They're always the meekest people in the room. Amen. Meek. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Jesus' words stand in stark contrast to the general opinion. Just as those in the first century, we live in a day where rudeness and ruthlessness are too often the rule. To the carnal mind, Jesus was extremely naive and impractical. But to those that have found the treasure of the Spirit, he presented a beautiful truth about happiness. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Jesus was not recommending cowardice or weakness. He was not recommending to be a coward or for you to be weak. He was pronouncing happiness on the individual who, with a patient and gentle spirit, could endure all types of disappointments, all types of injuries, all that life can throw at you. Has anybody had life throw some stuff at you? Have you endured with a gentle spirit? Every once in a while we just got to scream, go to your closet and just let it out and then come out with a gentle and a meek spirit. God, and this is the neat thing about this. It's pointing us back towards him, and this is a sign of us putting our complete trust in him. I can handle anything that comes my way with a meek and gentle spirit because I'm not the one in control. God is. And so when things come my way, my reaction to it shows my level of trust in him. Amen. So, let's see here. Moses is a great example of that. It only took him 40 years on the backside of the desert to get that one right. Anybody want to spend 40 years on the backside of the desert? To learn meekness. Matthew 11:29. Lord himself said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. Numbers 12:3 was Moses's, described Moses' meekness. Now the man Moses was very meek, and we know that Moses didn't start out that way. Raised in the home of Pharaoh, and our first introduction to him going to the backside of the desert is him killing a man. That is not meek. It's not meek. That's angry. That's violent. And he was standing up for something, yes, but those are not actions that are Christ-like. But then, after some time of learning about God on the backside of the desert, and I'm sure that some of us have spent some time there, hallelujah, usually we come out better for it, amen. Sometimes we put ourselves in it, but when we come out on the other side, hallelujah, we're better for it. But Moses was very meek, above all the men which were upon the face of the earth. Moses. The meekest of all the meek. They are promised to, they shall inherit the earth. And it's a blessing of possession. A blessing of possession. It speaks of magnificent spiritual blessings. They shall inherit the earth. You got to understand who he was talking to. The people that possessed the land, that possessed Canaan, possessed the blessing that God had put out for them. And so that's what he's describing. It is the meek shall inherit the earth. The meek shall be greatly blessed. Greatly blessed. All right, Matthew 5, 6, and we're getting there. How many more do we have to go? We got a few. Amen. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. They shall be filled. So many people today are like the prodigal son who wasted his substance in a far country, spiritually destitute. They try desperately to find satisfaction in the amusement of the world, in sports, in lust, in alcohol, in drugs. Like the prodigal, during the famine, no one gives to him. No one gives to them. He gave everything foolishly to everyone around him. Gave, till he had absolutely nothing. And then you find out who your real friends are. You find out the real situation that you have put yourself in because of the way that you've been living. And you look around and there is no one going to help you. That old drunk. That old sinner. Boy, he was fun for a while, but now look at him. Look how miserable he is now. Do you think those people care about him? No. Could care less. No one seems to care. And yet, if they would just come to themselves, someone does care. Someone does care. The Father cares for you. Hallelujah. The abundance of God's provision is breathtaking. Jesus promised that those who hunger and thirst after righteousness would be filled. And God has enough to fill. God has enough to fill. Hallelujah. He has provided time and time again. And in time of need, he is always there. He always provides what we need. Hallelujah. If we will hunger and thirst after righteousness. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. A merciful and forgiving attitude. Oh, I probably need to take 45 minutes on this one right here. A merciful and forgiving attitude. Blessed are the merciful. And this one is, you act like Christ in being merciful, and the blessing is the same as the act. That's how powerful mercy is. If you're merciful, you'll receive mercy. There are those even in Christian ranks who judge one another with extreme cruelty and in the harshest manner. Indeed, this sin often prevails among those who make the greatest profession of godliness. We'll name any names, but there are some forums on Facebook and other places on the internet that are full of godly, in quotation, men and women. And comments and judgments are not of God. Are not of God. And there are times that meekness is trying to be there and it's not working all that well on my part because it just riles me up to no end when people are not acting godly who proclaim to be godly. And so I have to show mercy so that I will obtain mercy. And I have to forgive. Calvary is the greatest expression of mercy ever known. Psalms 85:10, mercy and truth are met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other. Jesus told a story in Matthew 18 about the servant that was in default to his master by 10,000 talents. And I don't know if this is true or not, but Adam Clark says that the highest number known in the Greek notation, that was their highest number. Obviously, they wouldn't have had to deal with the debt of the United States right now. They would just say that we're 10,000 in debt, and that's the highest number they had. So maybe that would work. All right. anyway, back to this as I run out of time. So he was in default, and we know the story. He was forgiven, and then he turns around and he finds somebody that has, that owed him like a little sliver of a penny, right? And treats them harshly.
Now you will pay me.
But you owe me. And then they find out about it. And he is dealt very harshly with. And so we get the point. If you give mercy, you will receive mercy. Hallelujah. We who have been forgiven of sin must freely forgive others. This is where it comes into our life. If we have been forgiven of our sins, how can we go out in this world and judge people for the sins that they're doing? We need to forgive people. When people do us wrong, we need to forgive people. Hallelujah. If you have been forgiven, if you have experienced the freedom of that forgiveness, our forgiveness of them also brings freedom. Hallelujah. It brings freedom in your life. It brings freedom in your relationship with them. It brings freedom for them to even come back to Christ at times. Hallelujah. We need to have a forgiving spirit. Hallelujah. When we have obtained mercy, we need to give mercy. Hallelujah. And when we give mercy, we will obtain mercy. Hallelujah. I love that. It's its own reward. Hallelujah. But just by doing it, it's its own reward. Pureness of heart. Oh, hallelujah. We're going to hurry. Pureness of heart. Jesus next pronounced those happy, those are happy who are pure in heart, for they shall see God. How we need this purity of mind and motive. The shady business dealings of dishonest practices that prevail in many transactions in our day are sad indicators of declining morality. Divorce is rampant, physical and sexual abuse are epidemic, and abortions are common. Practitioners of sexual perversion parade their immorality in the street. Lord, give us a clean heart. Give us a clean heart. A fully cleansed heart can only result from the new birth. The magnificent change that takes place through the repentance of sin, water baptism in the name of Jesus for the remission of sins and being filled with the Holy Ghost. The expression, for they shall see God, is the promise Jesus gave to the pure of heart. Pure of heart. They that see God. This is an expression that describes one who is honored in the presence of a king as a favorite. They shall see God. Honored in the presence of a king as a favorite. This is my child. This is my child. Highly favored of the king. A peacemaker. The gospel of Jesus Christ is the gospel of peace. Gospel of peace. Matthew 5, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Hallelujah. I want to be a child of the King. I want to be highly favored of Him. Hallelujah. I don't want to be nothing against red-haired people, but I don't want to be the red-haired stepchild of God. I want to be highly favored. Amen. We love you, Sister Via. I want to be highly favored of the king. I don't want to be the trouble child. The little kid that constantly in trouble and running away and constantly got his little stick with a little handkerchief and a sandwich or an apple on there running away from God all the time. I want to be the one that's highly favored. Hallelujah. I want to be I want to be in the presence of the King, and I want to have His favor in my life. Hallelujah. And I want, in order to do this, I need to go forth with the gospel of peace. The gospel of peace. The peace of God passes all understanding. Ephesians 2:13-14. Who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ, for He is our peace. Hallelujah. 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 Peace with God, peace with ourselves, peace with our fellow man. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Patience and persecution. Hallelujah. Anybody there? Amen. Patience and persecution. To become a friend of God, we must become an enemy of the world. 2 Timothy 3:12. All that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Hallelujah. If you're being persecuted today, you must be doing something right. Hallelujah. Living for God. The blessing of persecution lies in the fact that we are identifying ourselves with Christ and His kingdom. If we suffer, we shall also reign with Him. Hallelujah. 2 Timothy 2:12. Glory to God. And I'm there. Stand this morning. Stand this morning. Amen. Glory to God. I'll put this up a little higher. Stand this morning.